It is now time for Discover You Radio's From Broadcast to Podcast Hour, hosted by Will Stenner.
You're listening to Discover You Radio's From Broadcast to Podcast Hour. I have Margaret Evans with me on the phone as a guest. We're going to talk about her career and her new song that just came out called Oh Captain. So let's get it started. How you doing, Margaret?
I'm great. Thank you for doing this. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a great day today. Absolutely. So you are a music teacher.
I am a music teacher in Kentucky in the Southern Indiana region, and I do some stuff online with Charlotte Martin as well. That's going to start in January. That's something that was a bit of a surprise as a musician, but it's been something that I've really enjoyed. So,
well, that's great. How many musicians do you get to work with when you're doing your teaching?
I would say a lot of it's kids, but you get to watch them. It's more of a thing where you get to watch them become musicians rather than and sometimes actual musicians come in. I think more. Honestly, more musicians should take lessons. That was how I got involved with Charlotte, was I wanted to go back. I just sort of recognized in teaching, I was like, oh, there's holes in this. There's things that I would watch other piano players, I would see them have chops that I didn't quite have. I accompany myself well enough, certainly, but when I saw that, I thought I could learn from them, and so I sat down and took lessons with Charlotte. I took lessons with a woman locally named Leora Nosco, and I think more musicians should do that, because you just learn new things. You think and music's one of those things you never really, you're never done learning.
You never stop learning. Very true. You never stop learning. I mean, you got to train your ear. You got to train your voice. You got to train, muscle memory, like playing guitar. You learn the chords. So yeah, there's a lot with music or whatever else is being played. Wind instruments, anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you think about the way the music business is going on TikTok?
I think it's really exciting. I hear a lot of people, and I know I might make some enemies saying this, I hear a lot of people talking about Spotify and, being really discouraged about how little they're paid. And it's true, they're 100% correct, but the music business has always been the music business. It's never, and what I mean by that is it's never been artist-friendly, And I think that fans are artist-friendly, they're just not music business-friendly. So they'll go and they'll stream stuff because, think about it. If you think about somebody who's lived through vinyl, cassette, how many times do you have to replace your Led Zeppelin or your,
Yeah.
But I think people, they're more willing, they understand the plight of the artist, though. And if an artist... I'm not suggesting going around begging or anything, but I think if an artist makes a connection with their fan base, that the fan base will support. Taylor Swift is a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
All the stuff she's accomplishing right now, that wasn't doable. And it wouldn't be doable unless you had a fan base that understood you and your situation. So I think it's more exciting than people think, and just let the music business is going to be what it's always been. It's always going to squeeze the life out of an artist, but it's an exciting time for artists to be maybe entrepreneurs a little bit, flex that entrepreneurial muscle. So,
yeah, it's it is it's hard to find big promotion like the record labels get. But, when you land something like TikTok and then all of a sudden you're getting thousands of views in a day, then it's a big difference.
Right. And I think Patreon is helpful. I think in the in the future, I'm starting to learn, I can't talk intelligently about it, but I'm starting to learn about NFTs and things of that nature. And I think that artists are going to be empowered. I mean, I would love to have a career where I could tour in the summer months, maybe, or, you know, 2 or 3 months out of the year, and have 100 to 200 people show up. You know, I think you can do that with a small fan base, and I think you can make a good living off of it without a label being in your hair and you know, the full creativity. But you got to, I think you've got to fund this stuff yourself.
Yeah.
And be willing to start small and grow it fan by fan, you know.
You become your own record label, which means you do your bookings, you do your answering the fan mail, you do your own publishing. So what the record labels typically do, the artist has to do themselves. So there's a lot of work involved.
Yeah, I've always done that stuff. I've always had to schlep my gear and drive myself to the gigs. And I haven't toured regularly in a long time, but back when I used to go play, and I would play, it was a more of a regional thing. That's the hard thing for an artist, was having to work, having to pay your bills, and then this additional job, you know. That's why everybody right. wants a label, but those things, you have to learn how to do it. I do my own website, you know, all those things. And I go book the studio time myself and pay for it. Now, things happen, though, like, you know, you may have enough money. I think I saw something you posted on TikTok, and it was legit. I responded to it about you put all your money into the recording of something.
Oh, yes.
And then you can't promote it, which is, I think I have a single that I'm really proud of, and that's exactly what I did, and then I had nothing to
yeah
so it just sits there, you know.
There's a common dream that a lot of artists have, and when they're recording the song, they're mm-hmm. dreaming the song to turn into a hit. So they're nobody's planning on promoting the song. They're planning on the instant hit, and it's going to promote itself. And it's I think it's just something that is subconscious with artists. Because you wrote something, you love it, and when you get your final project, you want to put it out into the world, and then it kind of just sits there without the promotion. But there's that dream that a lot of artists have, that once it hits the market, it's going to take off. So nobody...
Somebody will find it, yeah.
Yeah. So nobody considers the putting the funds aside for promotions on how to do it. And you got to do it right. You can't just go buy... Spotify streams or buy streams to make it look better. That doesn't really work very well.
But right.
You just have to find the right areas for the promotion.
I absolutely agree. And I think we're natural artists, not natural business people. For me, maybe I should just speak for myself. I think I do enjoy seeing the artists that are coming up, and that they understand they've got to, if they're not naturally business savvy, they've got to figure that out, you know.
Yeah.
And that's exciting to see, and I'm learning that too. But I definitely didn't have that when I started out. You know,
right.
I was just like, you make the art. And the record business, the music business was always so good. I don't know why I keep calling it record business. I've been wanting to visit a record store. Maybe that's subconsciously on my mind. But the music business, it teaches you that these artists were just sort of plucked out of nowhere, and it makes it seem like it was magic when they were playing at malls, they were playing at festivals, they were, doing all sorts of things back in the day under the radar that nobody saw, and doing
right.
that for years. So there was this idea that there was something special about the artist, and it turns out there is something special, no doubt, but most of the time it's work. You just didn't see the work.
Yeah,
you know,
it is work. So, you got to get up some way or another. Like Tiffany was a mall performer for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with today's artists, I kind of have a, the way I do things is I think everybody deserves a chance some way or another. And the reason why I put so much on my station is because even if it's a song that I personally don't really care for, I don't want to be a gatekeeper because there's other people out there that may hear the song and want to request it more often. So I don't put myself in the judgment table on what's going to be played. I give everybody a fair chance.
I love that. And a lot of times I think as artists and even people who work in the music business, I think that even if you don't like a song necessarily, you can still tell a good song.
Yeah.
There may be a song that I don't, I'm like, well, that's not what I would listen to, but that's good, you know. And there's something to be said for that because, you know, everybody's got their own musical taste. So I think it's great that you don't box things in to just having, we're just going to have heavy metal on this station.
Yeah, because my station more is more of a rock, alternative, punk rock, hard rock station, and it's just been kind of transitioning over to more independent, and the independent genres are very vast and very many, and I'm like, well, I have the platform, I'm going to open the doors and see what happens, and the floodgates came in.
That's awesome, though, and that's a cry, you know, and a testament to the spirit of artists realizing, you know, they've got to do it themselves. I always liked a woman named Ani DeFranco. She was one of the first people to kind of go out on her own and be independent and would talk about, when no one else was talking about it, she would talk about how the labels take so much money. And then Prince, before he passed, he was talking about, at first I don't think he really had a problem with it, but then he said, I'm paying for the recording at this point. I'm the musician on most of this stuff, and they're still taking the same cut.
Right.
They weren't fronting the money to him, and they just kind of decided to not take those advances. And because it's just a bank loaning you money. It is. Really bad terms.
You get signed to a record label and they give you a front, and then all the fees go back to the front until you make a profit. And that's a gamble.
Well, it's not even until you make a profit. It's like until they profit from your piece of the pie.
Right.
So it's even tighter. It's a wonder that anybody, when you look at it, it only makes sense to be independent because, it takes you being some sort of star to make any money.
Right, it does. But you can, there are so many different avenues in this industry to go to. It's just learning which one to go to.
Right.
I have a friend that makes a great living, and he plays assisted living facilities. He does great. He does great doing that. Yep. And, you know, it's not a huge concert, but they pay him very well.
Right.
Yep.
There are nice careers out there for musicians that no one really talks about. I remember being at this place I was working at, a guitar workshop, which was a lot of fun, and there was all kinds of classes throughout the summer. It was just sort of basically like a camp, and a songwriter came in. And he wasn't bitter or mad, but this was what he said. He just basically said, it's a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. He said, if you can do something different, you should. And he was somebody that had sold independently like 10,000 CDs back when, you know, you were hawking them from your trunk, right?
Yep.
And I remember just thinking, like, he was just basically, if you can do something different, you should. And I don't think that has to be the case, though. I think if you're pursuing a certain kind of fame and a certain kind of venue, it might wind up being the case. But there's some places in between to have a career as a musician. It's not easy, but, and you're doing everything yourself. But, yeah,
Exactly. Now, with that being said, you have a song called Oh Captain, and
yes.
I've been listening to it to get the story, and if you don't mind elaborating on that story of Oh Captain.
Sure. It sounds like it's about a relationship, because that's just sort of how I write, but I wrote it around the time, it's kind of really sad, but when Robin Williams passed away, and everybody, like, I'd never seen that kind of outpouring over a death. Maybe like Elvis or John Lennon, but people were just devastated that that had happened to him.
Yeah.
And that he was gone. And so I was just sort of sitting with that feeling that kind of permeated. I was by myself, but I felt like there was just a feeling that you could feel, I guess, and I guess I got it from social media, people saying, I literally sat down and cried today. And it was sort of just a tip of the hat. He was somebody that I watched all the time that I thought was, still do think was hilarious. And whenever I would be struggling with a bout of depression or I just feeling like I cannot deal with my life at this desk job anymore, you know, I would put him in my headphones and listen. And so it was just sort of, there was a sense of longing. There was, a general sense among people, I felt like, of, and just kind of being sad. And also that idea of pursuing, something that maybe is not the best for you. That was sort of sitting with me.
Uh-huh.
And why it came out like a relationship song, I'm not sure, because I didn't have a particular person in mind when I wrote it. It was just a feeling.
And that's one of the best ways to write music, is when you're having that feeling. Sometimes
Absolutely.
You get that writer's block and you're stuck. But
mm-hmm.
And then there's other times a song could be written in 2 minutes.
That was one of, it wasn't quite that fast, but it came pretty quickly.
Yeah. Margaret, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it very much. Listen for more.
Stop the music. Stop the music. Stop the music. Hold on. You mean to tell me this whole time I've been listening to internet radio? Internet radio? Finally, someone got it right. Carry on.
Discover U Radio, making internet radio history.